Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Miguel Gonzalez, and you're tuned in to Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. We are delighted that you have chosen to spend the next 30 minutes with us. It is our prayer that God would speak to you only in a way in which He can. Today, we're going to be discussing the title of this message is Experiencing Victory in Trials. Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. May you speak to us and minister to us. May you conform us more and more to the image of Christ, for it is in His name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, the text we're going to look at today is found in James Epistle, chapter 1, in verses 2 through 12. Let me go ahead and read that passage for you. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man shall not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Verse 9, the brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. Verse 11, for the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. It blossoms, its blossoms fall, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And we trust that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Again, the title of this message is Experiencing Victory in Trials. Well, first thing we need to do is define what a trial is. Well, depending on the context in which you're using it, a trial can have either a negative or a positive connotation. In these verses, the context tells us that it is used in a positive way. They are holy trials. They are trials that God allows to come into our lives for specific purposes. Now, the basic meaning of trial is to try or to test or to prove, and that is the way it is used in the context of the verses that we just read. Now, there are, according to this passage, according to the first 11 verses of this passage, there are five means provided that will allow us to experience victory in trials. There are five means of experiencing triumph in our trials. The first one is found in verse 2. Verse 2 once again tells us, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. The first means to experiencing victory in trials, the first means to triumphant perseverance in trials, is our attitude. We must have, according to this verse, a proper attitude as we experience trials. Now, several things need to be said. First of all, James is pretty clear in stating that trials will come. And not only trials will come, but many different types of trials will come into our lives. And he says that the first thing that we need to have in order to experience victory is a proper attitude towards those trials. We need to remember, folks, that trials are not our enemy. God allows these trials to come into our lives, and in some cases, He sends those trials into our lives in order for us to be conformed more and more to the image of Christ. Listen, we ought to have the proper attitude because we know that God will accomplish His will in our lives, and His will is what is best for us. If we want to be a people who become the kind of people God wants us to be and who reach our full potential for God, we have to be a people who endure trials with the right and proper attitudes. Listen, trials should not be considered a punishment. They should not be considered a curse. They should not be considered a calamity in our lives, but rather as something, listen to me, as something that prompts rejoicing. Because we know that through trials, God is accomplishing His will and He's bringing us to a point where we are becoming more and more like Christ Himself. Listen, God is using trials and He's bringing these holy trials into our lives, and He's asking us to deal with these trials with an attitude of joy, because through them He will accomplish His purposes in us and through us. Now notice, once again, James states, he uses the word whenever. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. It is not an issue as to whether you will or will not face trials. It is the issue of when you face those trials. You will not grow up to become the person God wills you to be. You will not mature in your faith unless God is able to perfect that faith through trials that He allows to come into our lives. These will be troubles that will shape us and conform us more and more to the image of Christ. And notice that he also says that the type of trials that we will face will be of many kinds, implying that God will send multicolored trials into our lives for the development of a specific area in our Christian walk. So expect the trials and expect them to be different kinds of trials. And the first thing that you need to do in order to experience victory in trials is to face those trials with the proper attitude. Understand that God is accomplishing His will in your life, and understand that ultimately you will be a better person at the end of that trial if you have allowed God to do what He needed to do in order to conform you more and more to the image of Christ. Now, the second means of experiencing victory in trials, according to verse 3, is an understanding mind. Listen to what James says. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Listen, joy is possible. It is possible to experience joy in the midst of trials because of what we know and what we understand. Listen, if we know that God is attempting to produce in us something that He can only produce in us as a result of us facing trials, then we know that we can experience joy. Listen, he uses the word know, and the word know carries the idea of full understanding of something not only that is factual, but that it is experienced. The more we're tested, the more we understand the purpose of testing. The more he allows trials to come into our lives, the more we understand that we can rely and trust on the faithfulness and promises of God. It's not simply knowing something to be factual. It is experiencing something and therefore knowing that it is true. The more you and I face trials, the more we can be joyful in those trials, and the more we know that God is able and faithful to do precisely what He has promised He would do. And he also says that through those trials, He's going to produce in us perseverance. That's a lot more than just patience. Perseverance is a lasting quality that becomes part of our character. Unlike patience, patience is a more temporal thing. Perseverance is a lasting character that becomes part of our personality. Listen, why can we be joyous in trials? Because we know Listen, at least a few things. We know that our faith is going to be tested. Secondly, we know that testing is a positive, not a negative. When your faith is tried, when your faith is tested, you know that it is done for the right reasons. It is a positive, not a negative. And the third thing we know and understand about trials is that trials rightly help us become mature in the faith. Unless you experience circumstances in your life that cause you to rely and trust God more profoundly than you ever have, you will never truly understand the nature and the faithfulness and the love and mercy and grace of God. It is only when you find yourself in circumstances where you have no other choice but trust and rely on God's love and faithfulness. So first of all, we need to have the proper attitude in order to experience victory in trials. Second of all, we need to have an understanding mind. Thirdly, in verse 4, we're told that we should have a submissive will. Listen to verse 4. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We must have a submissive will. We must allow God to take patience and through patience produce perseverance. And we must allow God to continue the work through that trial and turn perseverance to its finished work, and that is complete maturity. If we are willing to have a submissive will, God will successfully allow trials to produce in us what they are meant to produce, and that is maturity and spiritual fulfillment. It is because God loves us that He allows those trials and those tests to come into our faith. If we are going to mentor others growing up in the faith, we need to be people who have experienced the faithfulness of God firsthand so that we can truthfully and genuinely and sincerely communicate to those who are coming into the faith the faithfulness and love of God. Listen. When he uses the words mature and complete, in essence what he is saying is that as we go through trials and as we come out the other end of these trials, we will be more fully developed in every way than we were before we endured and faced the particular trial. And the idea is this, that God wants to produce in us such maturity and such spiritual fulfillment that we will reach a point where we simply lack nothing. We will be complete. Listen, first of all, we need to have the proper attitude. Second of all, we have to have an understanding mind. Thirdly, we have to have a submissive will. But according to verses 5 through 8, we also have to have a believing heart. Listen to what James says in verses 5 through 8. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Listen, fourthly, we should have a believing heart if we are going to experience victory in trials. Listen to what James says. God is an approachable God, and we have the ability to come to the very throne of grace, seeking God's wisdom and blessing as we face the trials of life. But what God says is this: if you are going to come to me, and I want you to come to me, if you are going to come to me and ask for wisdom, you must be convinced that I will give you the wisdom necessary in order to be able to successfully endure and come out the other end of that trial. Don't come to me asking for wisdom if you don't truly believe in your heart that I'm capable of giving you that wisdom, or if you don't believe in your heart that that wisdom will get you through that trial. When we come to God and pay God lip service, God is not bound to give us our request, because he knows that it is not a sincere believing in the heart request. God wants us to come to him in time of need. He wants us to come to him in the midst of those trials. But he wants us to come to him believing that he will faithfully provide what he has promised us he would provide in the midst of that trial. And God knows that we need nothing more than his wisdom. We need to be able to be a people who perceives and understands trials and see trials as he does himself. Listen, what is wisdom anyway? Why does he ask us to come asking for wisdom? Well, wisdom is God's spiritual insight. It is a help from God in helping us understand what trials are for. It allows us to see trials through God's eyes. We will better endure and we will better survive trials if we are able to see what will be accomplished through those trials. If we are able to see trials as he sees them in our lives, and if we're able to see them producing what God knows they will produce, it is a lot easier to deal with those trials and be faithful and stand strong in the midst of those trials. But if we don't have a believing heart, Scripture is clear in telling us that we should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. If we want to receive God's wisdom, if we want to be able to see trials the way God sees them, then we must believe that he will be faithful in providing us that wisdom. If not, he will not provide us with what he says he would. We must have a believing heart. We must approach trials with a proper attitude. We must have an understanding mind. We must have a submissive will. And we must also have a believing heart. In addition to that, we must have a humble heart. That's verses 9 through 11. Now, before we get into verses 9 through 11, I do want to make a couple more points about a believing heart. Listen, God says that we are to come to God seeking his wisdom. That implies two things in the life of a believer. How do we know God's will? How do we gain God's wisdom? How do we appropriate the wisdom of God into our own lives? We're very simple. Once again, we must be a people of the Word. God reveals his will to us through the Bible. And we are able to apply the wisdom of God as we learn more about the wisdom of God. So when God says, you come to me and you ask for wisdom, there are two things that are implied in his request to us. One, that we will be students of the Word so that we can understand, first of all, what the will of God is, and secondly, so that we may know what godly wisdom is, unlike unbiblical wisdom, natural wisdom, worldly wisdom. There's a difference. But we would never know the difference between worldly wisdom, carnal wisdom, and godly wisdom unless we acquaint ourselves with truth. So implied in the request to come to him seeking for wisdom is that the fact that we are students of the word. In addition to that, there's a second thing. What do we call when we come to ask and ask for something, come to God and ask for something? You know what God is assuming? Not only that you will be a person of the word, not only that you will be a student of the Bible, not only that you will study Bible so you can understand what God is attempting to communicate to you and how his wisdom can be applied to our trials, but when we come to God and request for anything, we call that prayer. So what God is implying and assuming here is that if we do come to God in the first place, we must be coming to God because we know that God requests us to do so. We would only know that if we're students of the Bible. And he also implies that we should be a people of prayer. And prayer is coming to God asking for that wisdom, asking for understanding of his word so that we can apply his word to our trial. Wisdom is taking what we know and applying it in a way that brings glory to God and brings us at the other end of these trials successfully. Now, fifthly, I said that the fifth means of experiencing victory in trials is a humble heart. Listen to what he says in verses 9 through 11. The brother in humbled circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position. Because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. We need to be a people with a humble heart if we are going to experience victory in trial. Listen. The person who is of humble means, the person who does not have much in terms of materialistic possessions in this life, should take pride in his high position. Even though in the eyes of this world he possesses very little, the truth is now he possesses the entire universe because he is an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ of the kingdom of heaven. He should rejoice in his high position. But he also says that those who are rich should be humble and have a humble heart because they come to an understanding that their wealth, their possessions are nothing more than temporal. Their true wealth doesn't come from what they have here on earth materially. Their true wealth comes from knowing that that wealth is temporal and that all things lasting are the things that come from God. He tells us, the Bible tells us, that we should not focus on building treasures here on earth, which can be destroyed and broken into and stolen, that we should focus on our attention on building wealth in heaven, for which we will receive our rewards in due time at the judgment seat of Christ. So we must be a people who approaches trials with a proper attitude. We must have an understanding mind. We must have a submissive will. We must have a believing heart, and we must have a humble heart. Now, what are the rewards for us enduring trial? What is our reward for trusting God and coming out the other end, having allowed God to produce in us perseverance and allowing that perseverance to produce in us what God is seeking to produce in us? Well, in verse 12, we have the reward for perseverance. He says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Listen, what is the reward for perseverance? What will we receive if we experience victory through our trials. Well, according to James, we will be blessed, and in addition to the blessing, we will receive the crown of life which God has promised. Well, what does that all mean? Listen. We will be blessed with more happiness. We will be blessed with inner joy and satisfaction at knowing that God has, through each trial and trouble, produced in us a character that is conformed more and more to the image of Christ. We are becoming more Christ-like with every trial that God brings into our life. He is producing in us the character of Christ. And we should experience great joy at knowing that with every trial, we are becoming more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he also tells us that he will give us the crown of life. What is the crown of life? Well, a better translation could be the crown which is life. Some regard this to be eternal life, but I think the context better defines it for us as to be understood that it means life here and now. What does James mean when he says that God will give us a crown of life? I believe that this crown of life is the life we experience here on earth now. Remember, the Bible tells us that Christ came to give us life and that we may experience life more abundantly. I believe that is precisely what James is talking about. When we face trials and when we experience and when we are faithful and when we endure the trials, when we've come out the other end of trials, we know that we will have come a step closer to experiencing the more abundant life that Jesus came to give us and that wants us to experience in our lifetime. Listen, God loves us, and he wants to produce in us the kind of character that is consistent with a Christian. He wants us to walk just as Jesus walked. We will only be able to experience victory if we exercise these five means. If we have the proper attitude, we have an understanding mind, a submissive will, a believing heart, and a humble heart. Father, we thank you for this time. May you conform us more and more to the image of Christ. Thank you so much for joining us. If you wish to contact us, please write us to Truth to Live By at Post Office Box 690517, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit us at our website, www.truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. Thank you.